He's got the good works ready for us. God has prepared it beforehand, and when we abide in Jesus Christ, obeying His word, we're going to walk into those good works which we are to do. The only works that are good are what God has prepared and preordained that we walk in.
Welcome to this Monday edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. And Greg, today we'll look at a passage which gives us a snapshot of what the worthy walk in Christ looks like.
Yes, we will, David. And that snapshot is a picture of what it looks like to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, allowing His word to control our every thought and action. And that can only be done if you have a relationship with Jesus. So with that in mind, let's get to our wonderful passage in Colossians chapter 1, and we're looking at verses 10 through 14.
Thanks, Greg. Now, today's message is one you'll want to share with a friend. Just tell them to visit etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. They'll find today's broadcast as well as a host of other archived broadcasts waiting there for them. Our web address again is simply etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Fill your heart up with His word. Let it control your thinking day in and day out, moment by moment, second by second. As we'll see in chapter 3, the word of Christ dwelling richly in us. So then, the worthy walk is the result of being filled with the knowledge of His will, believing it, and abiding and trusting in Christ. Now, with this in mind, how do I know if I'm pleasing Him? Maybe I'm fooling myself. Maybe I'm thinking I'm doing really great and I'm actually horribly not pleasing Him at all. How do I know what is pleasing to Him? How do I see it? What does it look like in real time? Well, He's going to give us an example of some specifics. It's not everything, but it's some specifics that help us know, hey, am I walking in a worthy manner? These things should be happening. And when they're not, I've got sin or whatever it is, and I've slipped out of that. I need to confess to get back into walking in a worthy manner. And so if we were to see what it looked like, take a picture of it, what would it look like? Here, I have the picture right here. We have it in our scriptures here. Verse 10, so that you may walk in a manner worthy, Lord, to please Him in all respects. And then we have, which we'll see, four participles. We have the main verb, to walk, so that you would walk. And then we have what are called participles. They're basically ing words. And in Greek, we have them. So to walk, bearing fruit, verse 10. To walk, increasing in knowledge of God, verse 10. To walk, strengthened or being strengthened. To walk, giving thanks. Those are things that are going to reveal a picture of the worthy walk. You could call it a fourfold picture of the worthy walk. And so what's the first evidence, may I say, of a worthy walk? What should we see in our lives? Now, we need to examine ourselves. We need to examine ourselves for the Lord, and it's the Lord that examines us. Paul said, it's a small thing that you examine me. The Lord examines me. We need to be those who examine ourselves in light of the Word of God. And we need to stop examining everyone else, but examine ourselves so that we would walk in a worthy manner. We'd be, in that sense, examples. And so with that in mind, what's the first one? Notice there will be a continual bearing of fruit. He says, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work. Now, the idea of bearing fruit is a simple one. I hardly need to explain it. Good fruit is produced from a good tree. Bad trees don't produce good fruit. Good trees don't produce bad fruit. If the tree is good, it has the potential then of producing good fruit. Turn to John 15. The Lord Jesus talks about this. And it's very important because He's getting ready to leave. He's been in their presence. He's been encouraging them personally, all these things personally, and now He's leaving. And He's preparing them for the fact that He's going to give them His Spirit, another helper just like Him. And we need to understand this because with the Spirit of God, when we abide in Christ, we're going to bear fruit. John 15:4, abide in Me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in Me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in Me and I in him bears much fruit. That's what God says. Apart from you, you can do nothing. right? If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you ask what you desire, whatever you wish, it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so prove to be my disciples. He says here that we are to abide in him. And if we abide in him, we will bear much fruit. It's pretty simple. When branches abide and rest and simply draw everything from the vine, then they will produce fruit. When we try to trust in anything other than Christ, we're not going to produce fruit. When we rely on him in every area, in every circumstance, in action and reaction, he's going to bring forth fruit. And notice here it says, bearing fruit in every good work. And it's active. You will actively bear fruit. You're going to bear fruit. He's talking about in every good work. And what does he mean by good works? There's a lot of different views of good works out there. But here, Paul qualifies the sphere in which the fruit is produced of the one who's walking worthily. It's in every good work or good deed, in a sense. You could translate it that way. He's talking about what God has saved us to do. He has prepared these good works for us before the foundation of that we would walk in them. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He says, for we are his workmanship. He saved us. We're his new creation, in a sense. He created us and created in Christ Jesus for good works. And he says here, for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. He's got them ready. We just got to walk in them. He's got the good works ready for us. We're always trying to figure out to do the good stuff. God has prepared it beforehand. And when we abide in Jesus Christ, obeying his word, we're going to walk into those good works, which we are to do. The only works that are good are what God has prepared and preordained that we walk in. There's a lot of good deeds out there, a lot of people doing good deeds, doing stuff. Some people will be saying on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not do this? Did we cast out demons and do this in your name? Did we do this good stuff? And the Lord Jesus will say, depart from me, I never knew you. The only way good deeds are produced are when we abide in a good God, the Lord Jesus Christ. By faith, we believe what he said, and we step out and obey him. And what is produced is good works. You know, we are a people that has been purified for good works. Titus chapter 3. Look at Titus. A lot of good works talking in there. And it's not a goody-two-shoes works like the fake churches do to make them feel better about their corruption in their hearts and their being hell-bound. These are works that God does in us when we abide in Jesus. You see, when you abide in Jesus, you're thinking of others more important. So then things happen in front of you, the stuff that you're prepared. You're ready for every good deed. You're ready to help. You're ready to love in those situations. You're ready to do what the Lord would have you do because you want to do his will. And so truly good works cannot be separated from a good God. Indeed, the Lord Jesus told a certain wealthy ruler, no one is good except God. And he said that because the guy didn't believe he was God. Jesus is God. And no one is good except for God. And apart from him producing that in us, there are no good works. And so we need to abide in him. But that abiding doesn't just happen in a vacuum of trust. It happens with the word of God working in my heart when I'm trusting in Jesus, where his word is controlling me. It's pushing me. It's directing me, directing my path. We see in Psalm 1 how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. That's man's ways and thoughts, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night, not mechanically. This is the interaction with the word of God. That is day and night. And he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season. When you abide in Christ and you trust in him, he will yield fruit in a season as you walk with him, trusting in Jesus. The Lord Jesus does it in us, and we marvel at it. We thank him. We praise him for it. He opens the opportunities, and he gives us the ability to do it. He prepares us for every good work. We're ready for every good work because we're allowing his word in Christ to control us. So then when the Word is richly dwelling in us, we are going to be continually bearing fruit. Ongoing fruit bearing. So my question is, do you have the cart before the horse? Are you trying to bear fruit on your own? Or are you abiding in Jesus Christ? And people say, well, if you just abide in Jesus, nothing's going to happen. You're just going to sit there. Well, the reality is if we abide in Jesus Christ, He's going to change our mind, our thoughts, and our walk's going to be worthy. It's going to produce His character in us towards others and those good works. So then, is the character of Christ being manifested in your behavior? We certainly know we bear some not very good things at times, but we confess that. But when we abide in Christ, then our true nature in Him is manifest. We are holy, and it's because of Christ. When we abide in Him, we're going to produce fruit. That's the first evidence of a worthy walk, continually producing fruit, continually bearing of fruit. What's the second evidence? There's going to be a continual increase in the knowledge of Him. Now, the bearing of fruit was active voice in Greek. It's going to happen. We're doing that because He's changing us, and we're walking and we're doing it. This next one is passive, increasing in the knowledge of God. That means we are being acted upon and thus being increased in our knowledge of the Lord. He says here, bearing fruit in every good work, end of verse 10, and increasing knowledge of God. We should be growing in the true, full knowledge of our Lord. We should be growing in our understanding of Him, of His ways, of His character. You know, we shouldn't know Him the same way we knew Him 10 years ago. We should be increasing in our understanding and knowledge of Him. Not some mystical, relational knowledge that's in our heads, but knowledge from the Word of God. The full knowledge of God, the epinosis of God, this true or intimate knowledge, it's relational. You know, when you get to know somebody, you grow in your relationship with them. You get to know them. Jesus said, this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the one and only true God, and your Son whom thou hast sent. A relationship with the living God. That's eternal life. It's the most important thing, knowing Him. And this word increasing actually is a word that speaks of growth. It's a botanical term. Growing, like a plant growing in the knowledge of God. When you look at a plant, does it grow before your eyes? No, but if it's being fed and it's abiding in the soil, right, resting, and it's receiving the nutrients, it grows. And if we're doing so, we're going to grow. We're going to increase in the knowledge of God. We're going to grow in the knowledge of God. And so what is it that causes us to grow, acts upon us, it's passive voice, acts upon us, that brings us to the knowledge of Him? It's not us. It's through the divine revelation, God's Word, and by His Spirit illumining it, that we can understand and increase in the knowledge of the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, Peter says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Hey, that it would be multiplied. And he says here, seeing that His divine power has granted everything pertaining to us, everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him. And then he goes on to say, we have His precious and magnificent promises. That's where we gain the knowledge of Him. May it be multiplied. May we be growing. We should be growing in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. In that very same book, 2 Peter in the end, he says, you therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand about the bad guys, he says, be on your guard, lest you be carried away by the error of unprincipled men. We've seen that this week with some false teachers on the radio that some of our people addressed, in a sense. Don't be carried away. Let you be fall by your own steadfastness. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Are you growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus? Do you know Him better? We should be growing in that. We should be growing like a plant. You can't see it when you look at it, but you go back the next day or 2 days. Hey, it's growing. Growing in the knowledge of Him. And what a wonderful knowledge. We have a gracious, wonderful God who loves us so much, who holds everything together, who created all things, who is holy and righteous and just, a God who sent His Son. God the Son took on human flesh, died for our sins, loved us, that we would know the love of Christ, that we would know how much He loves us. We just don't see life rightly when we don't see the Lord rightly. We need to grow in the knowledge of Him, and we should be. We should be increasing. As we read the Word of God, we should be growing in our understanding and knowledge of our Savior. So then, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of our God, growing in the knowledge of Him, right? And then notice verse 11, strengthened. So remember, these are all participles. Walk in a manner worthy, bearing fruit, increasing knowledge of God, strengthened, or literally being strengthened. Being strengthened with all power, according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. We are a weak people. We are weak. We're weak when we try. We're weak when we don't. We are a weak people. But if we understand our God and His power, that we would know the surpassing greatness of His power towards those who believe. We would understand that. He says here that those who are walking worthy are getting stronger and stronger. But it's not their strength. They're not pulling up their bootstraps. They're not getting stronger in their abilities. They're getting stronger here with God's strength. The term being strengthened here literally means being powered, literally empowered with all power. Dunamai. Right? We get our word dunamis from, you know, or dynamite, right? We have it here, empowered with all power. Wow. And if you're wondering what all this all power is, He qualifies it according to His glorious might. Might, kratos, inherent power. God is inherently powerful. And He is empowering us with all power. We are not these people left out to squander and moan and lyre. We have the power of God available to us to walk in a worthy manner. If we trust Him, if we believe. Then notice what this power is. Notice it's resurrection power, by the way. It's inherent, glorious power. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1 for a minute. We see that. Ephesians chapter 1. Paul was praying, it's very similar as this prayer here, by the way, that they would grow in the knowledge, spiritual wisdom, and understanding of Him. Very similar prayer. And he says, so that you might know, verse 18 in the middle, so that you may know three things, what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of His power towards us who believe. Wow. That's quite amazing. This power of all power, right? It's His power, God's power. And he says, these are in accordance with the working of the strength of His might, same phrase, which He brought about in Christ when He raised Him from the dead, that's resurrection power, and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And He has put all things in subjection under His feet, and He gave Him His head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. It's resurrection power. That you might know what is the surpassing greatness, the superabounding power, right? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond what we ask or think. He says, according to the power that works within us. It's God's Spirit in us. It's His power. But notice back in our passage, it's a power for something. You know, the bad guys, they want power to do all signs and wonders and miracles and stuff. They want the power to do fancy stuff. Well, here, notice what the power is for. It's simply to deliver us, in a sense, to give us steadfastness and patience in the midst of this horrible time we live in of sin, where we're going to suffer. When we follow Jesus, if you are walking worthy, you're going to suffer. And we need patience. We need strength. We need the ability to endure. He says here, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. We need that. And if you are growing in the Lord, you're not getting knocked over as much as you were. You're standing more firm day in and day out. It's more and more and more. We're increasing. We're allowing His power to be increased, that we would be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord with patience. You see, God's power is perfected in weakness. His grace is sufficient. When we abide in Him, His power is perfected. But He gives us power not to escape this war that we're in right now with the flesh and the devil. He gives us power to endure. He says here, to patiently endure. The word steadfastness here is hupomone, to remain under. Patience speaks of long suffering, forbearance. What do we need that? Because we get sinned against. We get sinned against by each other. Why do we do that? I'm guilty of that. We're all guilty of that, right? We don't want to, but we do it. We get sinned against by the world. We get tempted by Satan. And we need the ability to remain under and forbear. Forbear. And God is going to strengthen us with his glorious might, his power, strengthened, empowered with all power. I need that to endure. You need that to endure. And if you are walking worthily, his power is strengthening you to do so. Indeed, the concept of endurance is all throughout Scripture. Consider it all joy, my brethren, James 1:2, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Hebrews 12:1, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles, and let us run with endurance. We get tempted, do we want to give up? And if we're filling our minds with his will, he's going to strengthen us with all power to endure. You see, because we get caught up with our sight, we get our eyes off of Jesus, and we start to falter. And we're like Peter, walking and sinking in the water, right? Focus on Jesus, he's walking out to him, sees the waves, and everything starts to sink. We're walking worldly, we're going to be strengthened. We're going to endure. 2 Timothy 4:5, but you be sober in all things, endure hardship. Endure hardship, and God gives us the power to do it. You've got a difficult situation, relationship, you've got a difficult boss, you've got a difficult situation at school, you've got hardship, whatever it is, it's usually people's sin, could be sin of your own, whatever, then you've confessed it, difficult things, God's going to strengthen you. He's going to help you if you're walking with him, abiding in him, letting his word control your mind. He gives us resurrection power so that we can endure patiently. The same power that raised Christ from the dead will help you endure patiently. That's amazing. We need it, but it's a short time. He's going to talk about that in a minute, something really great. We sang Sweet By and By earlier. Oh, what a wonderful thing, right? This patience and endurance isn't forever. God's going to come. He's going to take care of everything. So then, we have these evidences of a worthy walk. There'll be continual bearing of fruit, continual increasing knowledge of him, continual strengthened with all power so we can endure patiently. And notice this last one. There's a continual joyous thankfulness for our great salvation. Verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Kind of interesting statement there. This portion's pretty simple and clear. The worthy walk is going to exhibit a continual thankfulness for our great salvation. If you're not continually thankful for what Jesus has done for you, you're not walking well.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, in the moments that we have left, would you take just a moment and remind us of the big points from today's message?
I'd love to, Dave. It's just as we've seen today, that when we're filled with the full knowledge of his will, that's God's word working in our hearts as we depend upon Christ, as we abide in him, then we're going to walk in a manner worthy. It's going to manifest in our lives as we trust Jesus. Indeed, we've seen that when we depend on Christ and allow his word to control us, we're going to bear fruit in every good work, and we're going to increase in the knowledge of God. And with that, we're going to be strengthened to endure. And then we've just begun to see the last evidence of the worthy walk, where we're going to exhibit thankfulness. Okay, well, we're not done with this wonderful passage yet, so make plans to join us for our next edition of Equipping the Saints.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lunstead, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has Equipping the Saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.